encouraging.
Well, from events of long ago and far away to others in the here and now, and correspondingly more threatening, earthquakes. Some of the loss of life they cause could be avoided if we knew one was coming. Even a short period of notice would be helpful. Unfortunately, earthquake prediction remains, to put it mildly, unimpressive. Seismologists say that the San Francisco Bay Area of Northern California has a two-thirds chance of a major earthquake sometime in the next 30 years. But this is not the sort of forecast that helps you plan your day. That said, there is now some hope of being able to provide at least a brief period of warning once the quake has already begun. Writing in the journal Science, researchers in California and Wisconsin recently proposed an earthquake alarm system that might provide a few seconds' notice before the shaking actually begins. Not long, admittedly, but enough, they say, to save lives. Their system draws on a new understanding of the physics of seismic waves. Molly Bentley reports from the heart of American earthquake country, California.
First, you notice that odd rhythmic tapping of the picture frame against the wall, or you feel a sudden jolt in your chair. Then, everything shakes.
When an earthquake occurs deep in the earth, the energy that's radiated from that earthquake travels as two different types of waves. The P wave stands for primary, it arrives first because it travels at a higher velocity. And then the S stands for secondary wave, and it arrives later because it travels at a lower velocity. And the important distinction between the two is that most of the energy is in the S wave, and so it's the S wave that does most of the damage.
Earthquakes are measured by computers that record the entire ground motion, including the P wave and the S wave. Dr. Richard Allen and Hiro Kanemari discovered that analyzing the subtle differences in the P wave, they could estimate the hazard of the S wave that followed. And to illustrate this, Richard Allen and I have come to the San Francisco Zoo to enlist the help of the animals.
The analogy that we're using is that small earthquakes generate high-frequency energy, and that's the same as small animals. They have small voice boxes, and so they produce this high-pitched sound.
So this squeaking that we're getting from these lorikeets, that's like the high-frequency P wave?
That's exactly right. The P wave, it has a high-frequency content. We know that it's a small patch of the fault which is rupturing. Then we know that the amount of ground shaking associated with the S wave is going to be small because it's a small event.
Now, if we come over here, we're at the elephant enclosure. These are the Asian elephants. There are two of them. Oh, there they go.
Trumpeting is pretty spectacular. There's no question about it. But so the analogy really is that low-pitched rumble.
So that low rumble means trouble.
That's exactly right. Low rumble means there's trouble on the way. The S wave is going to be very large. You could have some serious damage.
Richard Allen says that his alarm system would make the most of that brief moment before an S-wave hit. If computers identified an ominous P-wave, an automated electronic warning would race through the city just seconds before the S-wave arrived.
Even a fraction of a second's warning, an individual can get underneath a desk, and that can actually significantly reduce the number of injuries from falling ceiling tiles, falling bookshelves. When we talk about industrial complexes with computerized control systems, you can plug those computerized control systems into the warning, and then you can actually have automated shutdown of processes which could be damaged or could cause injury to workers, for example. You can do things like slow and stop trains, you can turn the traffic lights on on-ramps of the highways to red to stop more traffic getting on to the motorways, for example. But perhaps the most exciting way we can use this system is over the course of the next decade or so, we can start to develop societal infrastructure which can respond to this warning. And an example of that would be what they're currently doing in Japan, which is where they're building buildings which have active response systems. These are buildings that can change their mechanical properties to be better ready for the ground shaking that's oncoming.
You mean that automatically the building would just change to protect itself against an earthquake?
Right. You can have hydraulic rams which are within the building which either tighten or relax, and so change the strength of the building. And you can do it in a fraction of a second.
The success of the proposed alarm system depends on the location of the earthquake's epicenter, according to Barbara Romanowitz from Berkeley Seismological Lab at the University of California. Even just a few seconds' warning is a challenge in Northern California, an area that's riddled with seismic faults.
In an area like we have in the Bay Area, it's marginally useful because the largest population is sitting right on top of the faults, so this will work only for some of the people here. In Mexico, it's much better situation because the earthquakes happen by the sea, and the big population center, of course, Mexico City, is 200 miles inland, so there's more time.
And of course, any system would have to clear itself of kinks.
You have to be able to distinguish the real earthquakes from the false alarms created by other signals in the system, glitches, things that we don't control. And this is something that has been plaguing our seismological system for quite a while, and which is why most groups are hesitant to develop early warning systems.
Well, false alarms really are something that we are concerned about and we still have to deal with. But when we were developing this system, we were developing with them in mind. And so the way the system works is it gets its first information. You can issue a warning at that point if you wanted to. But then as time progresses, you get more and more information and you can be more and more certain that it's not a false warning.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And that peacock that we're hearing in the background, is that a P-wave?
That certainly sounds like a pretty high-pitched P-wave to me.
Peacocks and P-waves. That report was by Molly Bentley. Finally this week, progress towards a new and ingenious